Speaking today with Kathy Bluford Daniels, who is running for City Council in District B. Kathy, first question I'd like to ask, why are you running for this office?
I'm running because I've lived in this community all my life, 54 years, and I'm just passionate about the issues that we have. I'm passionate about the people and the concerns I have for the people. We have not had good representation, and people, we've been overlooked in District B for a very long time. Like I said, I've lived here all my life in one part of District B or another. My mother still lives in District B. I moved back to District B actually to where I live now, because I've always lived in District B, but I moved from Scenic Wood to where I live now in Fifth Ward about 2.5 years ago. So we had issues with we didn't have any ditches out there. And after the passing of Prop 1, then I was really upset about it because they were talking about allowing the churches and schools certain exemptions. And so my question was, at one point, I had talked to my city council person about it. I talked to my super neighborhood about it several times. And my question was, at one point, I don't want to pay for a service that we're not receiving. And so with that, then I talked to the mayor, and I know you can't put this on the record, but this is what our streets look like in this particular neighborhood immediately after it rained. And then this is what it looked like after they came in and did drainage, put some drains in there. So I had issues with paying for something that I wasn't receiving a service for. I was like, if they're going to have exemptions, let's exempt certain neighborhoods who don't have drains already. I understand that Rebuild Houston is money that's going to be solely directed and dedicated for this purpose, but in the interim and for so long, you know, we've not had a voice of people advocating for these types of issues in our neighborhood. You've driven around here. This used to be a really prosperous area. It looked like across the street. And it used to be a business over there that was prosperous for the area. These places are dilapidated. They're falling down. Obviously, if you look at this one, with the weeds and almost trees growing through it, it's been like that for a very, very long time. I understand there's a process that you have to go to secure those properties, but then there are some in some areas of town that they literally have 20-foot trees growing through them. So somewhere, I think someone dropped the ball.
Okay, tell me a little bit about your background. You're a retired postal worker. What else have you done, and how do you think that will help you be an effective council member?
Well, and I don't like to use it as part of the campaign, but my son was killed 5 years ago. And he was killed. He was registering for college. He was a good kid in the church, in the drill team. And I was a mother that went to work, like I said, at the post office for 27 plus years. And when I came home, I was oblivious to things going on outside of what I could tell my kids was my castle. I'd come home to kids homework, because I was a single parent then. Get the kids homework, the kids fed, we go to bed and start the same routine the next morning. And when that life-changing event happened to me, I was one of those that thought that it would never happen to me, because my kids were good kids, they were Christian kids, they were educated, my daughter has a master's, so they were going on the right path. They were doing what I was preparing them for in life. And so he was killed based on mistaken identity. That was my own son. That propelled me. It got me off the couch instead of just talking about it and seeing and being desensitized to other people's situations. I decided that rather than talk about what needs to be done in the neighborhood, be about it. Immediately, when my son was killed on a Sunday, 2 weeks later, I was in Acres Home with them for a march and a protest where they were going around trying to find the Acres Home killer, murderer of those women out there. So I didn't think about anything at that point. Of course, I was in mourning, but from that, I knew I'm a strong Christian, and so I thought about John 9:4, I must work the work of him that sent me. And I asked And I prayed, I wanted, what is it that you want me to do? And I think it's to be the will of a spokesperson for the people. That I organized a youth march in Scenic Woods, the area where I was living when my son was killed. And we had almost 300 people that showed up, young people. We had drill teams that came out because my son was a part of the church drill team. He was a part of the church choir. So we had various churches and various people that came out and supported us for that young soldiers marching for Christ rally. And then we had another rally. We organized another rally for Stop the Killing. It was a Stop the Killing Summit in which we were trying to, we invited people, children from various schools to come in so that we could have community leaders talk to them and address them. We had numerous community leaders come in. One of the ones that they could relate to was Bum B, a rapper. And he addressed them and told them the importance of staying in school. And I talked to them and let them know the results of their actions. They don't think about when they're angry and they do various things and commit these crimes. They don't think about their parents who are probably going to be there in court supporting them, or the parents of the person that's affected by the crime. So I wanted them to see me as a mother in mourning to understand the results. I also organized a group called Black Moms as a result of that, and that stands for, it's BLACMOM, and that stands for Black, Latino, Asian, Caucasian Mourners of Murder. And it's a support group. And we were meeting regularly so that we could all get together, and the basis of our group is, it says, support from those who truly understand. And all of us jointly together, we're able to discuss our feelings, what our issues are, how we felt when the incident happens, and we're able to reach out and support one another. So I've been quite visible, you know, in the community. Like I said, I was a drum major for getting those ditches installed in the area, and I thanked the mayor, and I also went to thank the city workers who did an excellent job in getting those ditches installed, because we had none.
What do you see as the top priorities for District B?
Obviously, jobs, affordable housing. District B is one of the largest, it has one of the largest available land masses for businesses and for affordable housing. So I think that if we can encourage businesses to come in, then that in itself, they in turn can hire people in the general area, some of the people who are working some of those businesses. Also, the Rebuild Houston. Rebuild Houston will be an opportunity for the contractors, once they start working in various areas or wherever they're working in the city, they can hire people from our district to work with them and provide apprenticeships and jobs and give them something to look forward to. In turn, those people will probably buy back into the community just like I did, moving back into the community. And with affordable housing, their children will go to school in the communities. That will increase the enrollment. Increasing the enrollment will increase the funding. Increasing the funding, we can get better teachers. So it would be a win-win situation for all of us. I mean, District B, though it's vast in proximity, it's better located than any other district, and I say any other district, and that is 15 minutes from downtown, 15 minutes from Intercontinental Airport. So there are many, many opportunities, and we just need somebody to be a strong proponent to encourage businesses and home builders to build affordable housing out here in our community.
You mentioned the location of District B. I have to say, I've come into this neighborhood several times now to do interviews, and I can't say I've ever spent much time here before, but the first thing that struck me was just exactly that, how close Fifth Ward is to downtown.
That's right.
And it seems to me that it's going to be a natural place for gentrification.
You would think.
As, you know, I mean, you know, Midtown is built out, East Downtown is being built out. It's just a matter of time, you would think. I guess the question is, when that happens, it tends to be kind of a double-edged sword for people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because as new people move in, it sometimes tends to force the existing residents out. How do you, you know, how do you maintain balance on that?
Well, you know what? Education is important. And I say that, and I say that emphatically, because though I live out here, my godparents attend church with me. They're 81 and 82 years old. And they did not know. They had been misinformed. He retired from, I want to say where, because I don't want people to know, you know, narrow down who it is I'm talking about, but he retired from a very, very well-paid job. And they were misinformed and told that they didn't have to pay Social Security after 65. They had not paid taxes, I'm sorry, after 65. They had not paid taxes since they were 65 and 66 years old. So we got a tax bill. She brought it to me, and it was over $20,000 for the last 4 years, for 4 years. And I looked at it and went over it and got it corrected and put it off. And we ended up paying like $2,200 for them not filing and not filing with the fees, etc. But I say education because our assumption is we take for granted that people know they're supposed to file taxes continuously, even after 65. But they don't know that it's after a certain amount of money. We take for granted that everybody knows that they're supposed to file a homestead exemption. I have talked to many people out here, seniors, that did not realize that they could file homestead exemptions. Those seem so insignificant to us because it's something that we just do automatically. But we assume people know that, and they don't. So I've been meeting with a lot of pastors. I've got a lot of pastor support. And what I plan to do is having those type of educational programs in the churches. I know we have the multi-service centers. For the most part, the elderly people don't drive and don't drive very far, but they're apt to go to their church to find out information. And so I want to have an educational program tutorial. I want to incorporate businesses with some of the churches in the area, not just the community centers, because those are good centers, but realistically, older people and children are not going to go, unless they live in close proximity to those places.
Okay. You mentioned drainage and Prop 1 a couple times. Did you vote for Prop 1 in the election?
Okay. I absolutely did not.
I kind of suspected that.
I absolutely did not. And I met with engineers, and I was straightforward with them, and I told them that I did it, and the reason why I did it. Since I've talked to a lot of people, and I became more educated on it, and plus since I got my ditches, then I'm a strong proponent for it. Now, I'm trying to help people understand how Prop 1 can help us, because the contractors can hire some of the people in our neighborhood. But no, I was not for Prop 1 initially, but understanding that the money is going to be dedicated just for that purpose, and that will alleviate having to try to direct money from the city's budget for that, then I'm a cheerleader.
Okay.
I'm all for it.
Did you approve of the council's decision to exempt schools and churches from the drainage fee?
Yeah, I did. The churches, economically, we all experience some issues. And just like I mentioned, there are a lot of small churches that obviously would be impacted. And even with my church, our collections and money, most of them are down 20-30% as far as what they're usually bringing in. So, and I'm sure it's because of the economics. We can't go out and get extra jobs and make extra money. And most people out here and in all over District B, for the most part, as you saw driving in, these are older neighborhoods. And for the most part, the ones that are still living here are older people on very small fixed incomes. So, in order for the churches to be able to pay more, then the members have to tithe and give more. So, because of that, and I know how the operation it works, but I'm definitely with council approving the school, exempting the schools and the churches.
Talking about economics, obviously the city's budget has been big news over the past couple year or two. The budget they adopted for this fiscal year, cut about $100 million, laid off about 750 people. What is your assessment of the budget the council passed for this fiscal year?
I looked at the capital improvement budget through, I think, 2015. I was looking where some of the monies are allocated. One of the concerns that I would have, I would look at it like my money. And like I said, I was a single parent for a very, very long time. I got married 5 years ago. But because I had X amount of dollars coming in every month, I knew how to budget my money accordingly. I had two mortgages at that time, and two children, and utilities, and car note, et cetera, et cetera. So on my salary, I was able to budget that money accordingly. Using that same parallel with the city's budget, though it's a much, much bigger budget, I think we need to look at where wasteful spending is. Oftentimes, for instance, this is what may seem insignificant. Perhaps instead of buying 100 reams of paper, maybe we should buy 50. And each office curtail their spending to give that money back to the city to help the deficit. Also, we can look at the use of the vehicles, the city equipment, the city vehicles. How far are they driving the vehicle? How much gas are we using with the vehicle that's going to, and I don't know how far out they're going, but a lot of people take vehicles home. So I think perhaps we should probably relook at that as well.
Okay. Obviously everyone hopes that the economic situation will improve and that there'll be more revenue coming into the city. Do you think that the level of services the city is providing now after this round of cuts is kind of like the new normal, or do you think that the city should look to restore some of the things that have been cut as the financial picture improves?
I would love to see some of the things restored that have been cut, obviously. And I think for the most part, I hope it's not the new norm, but across the country, everybody's cutting everywhere. The post office, I was in the civil service. That was one of the things they wanted to cut with civil service employees. They wanted us out of there under that particular program because we had long tenure. So that's something that's affected across the country. But I would hope, I would definitely be a proponent for some of those services that have been curtailed to be restored.
Okay. The other proposition that was on the ballot this past year involved the red light cameras. Did you vote to keep the red light cameras or to get rid of them?
I voted against it. However...
To get rid of them, you mean?
To get rid of them, exactly. However, I also believe that, as with everything else, votes are supposed to count. So the city elects, the people decided they didn't want them, and so I don't think we should have them. I got a ticket. So that's not why I'm against them. I mean, there are certain circumstances for which we get tickets. I was running through a light behind a truck, didn't see the light change. It was pouring down rain. Had I even seen it, I probably still wouldn't have stopped because I would ran the risk of either, what do you call it?
Hydroplaning,
or fish shedding, whatever. So circumstances sometimes dictate whether or not a person should get a ticket. And I'm sure that wasn't reviewed because when I looked at it on the camera, on the, they you can go in and look at the track. You can see how hard it was raining, and I saw the, because I was like, I didn't run a red light. But I was against it, and the fact that it passed, I think we should honor the wishes of the people because, you know, that's our constitutional right.
Okay. City Council this past year redrew its council districts, added two new districts in response to census and previous settlement. Were you satisfied with the process that was used to draw the new council districts?
I was because I attended several redistricting meetings, so people had opportunities that if they had any suggestions or if they opposed it, there were ample times and that was allowed for people to come out and voice their opinion. So I didn't have a problem with it.
Okay. Recently, council approved a deal at Intercontinental Airport, which is in District B, to expand and refurbish District Terminal B, which is now owned by United. There was a deal signed for that. What's your evaluation of the deal that was signed for Terminal B?
I heard a little bit about that. I've not done a lot of research on it. I understand that there are a lot of federal monies involved with that, with the airport as well. So I'm not really sure. I'd have to be more informed as to the particulars about what the decision entailed and how it came about.
Okay. How would you evaluate Mayor Parker's first term in office?
I think she's doing a good job. I attended a town hall meeting, and I told her the one held out at Good Hope. And I think that she held the composure. She was honest and straightforward. She said that when the situation went down, she was angry. And I admire her for being honest. She just told the truth. She was very, very straightforward. So I think she's doing the best that she can. I, for one, was not satisfied with being misled about the $5 drainage fee versus when I got my bill, it was about $12 a month. So, you know, everybody makes mistakes. You know, there's pros and cons, and I think that she's doing the best that she can. I think that she's trying to do the best that she can.
Okay. How would you evaluate the outgoing council member, Jarvis Johnson, and how would you be like him or not like him as the council member in District B?
What I would do is I am going to be more visible and more proactive for the constituents. They'll see me out in the neighborhoods pretty regularly. Even if it's playing dominoes or playing spades or whatever, they will see me. I will be available and accessible. I know Jarvis very well, and you know, I don't have anything to say pro or con. You know, I don't want to get into pointing the fingers and pig sties with issues that we've had, he and I have discussed, and I'll just leave it at that. I don't have anything negative to say about him. There are things that in District B that could have been, that I think perhaps should have been addressed more aggressively, or just addressed, period.
Okay. And when people go to vote this November, why should they vote to make you the next council member for District B?
Because I am the people of District B. I live in District B, lived here all my life. I understand our plight. I am District B. And I think people understand that message, that I'm open, honest. I'm not naive to think that I can go in there with a magic wand and fix everything. But I think that I can really, really make a difference, because I'll be dependent on the people. I'll be dependent on them to provide me information and direction as to what their concerns and needs are, and I'll be open to hear it all.
All right. Kathy Bluford Daniel, thank you very much for talking
to me. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you.